Sometimes it is easier to say what unity is not than what it is, what we don't believe instead of what we do. So I'm really hoping to touch on both today, and we'll never all agree. I suspect that's true of any church, but we are willing to admit we see things differently, and no one has a corner on the truth. Easter, though, brings this to the forefront. What do we believe and what do we not? Was there really a crucifixion or not? Did Jesus even really live or not? Did he literally walk out of that tomb or not? Unity's founders would say yes to all of the above. He lived, he died, he rose again. Unity was founded 125 years ago as a Christian school. If we took a poll in this room today, I'm not sure how many would say Easter was a literal event or would even want to call yourselves Christian. My job in all this is not just to give you the unity party line, which I can, but to give you other ideas to consider. Bible scholarship and our understanding of the historical Jesus have come a long way in 125 years. And Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, said he reserved the right to change his mind. So we never really settle on just one interpretation of anything. It's a personal journey. Today is Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey while the crowd waved palm fronds and sang, "Hosanna, Hosanna." But there's a sense of foreboding about Palm Sunday. Jesus knew he was headed into trouble in Jerusalem, that he was probably risking his life. His disciples warned him not to go, and as you know, he was put to death just a week later. So we commemorate this week every year, Holy Week. We contemplate his death every year more than 2,000 years later. So clearly Jesus was more than just a great teacher who lived and died. But what is the meaning of his death for us now? The standard Christian answer, of course, is Jesus died for your sins. We've talked before about how powerful that idea would have been for the ancient Jews. They already sacrificed lambs at Passover. They already had scapegoats, literal goats. And in a ceremony, they would cast the sins of the tribe onto the head of a goat and then chase it out into the wilderness, a cleansing of the tribe. Jews also, then and now, observed Yom Kippur, a day of atonement. It's admitting the exact nature of your wrongs, asking forgiveness and being forgiven. It's a clean slate with God every year. I wish we had kept that one. When Christians split off from Jews, I wish we had kept Yom Kippur. But I guess we didn't need a day of atonement because we had Jesus. He had, in the Christian view, settled accounts with God for all of us. At least that's how Christianity developed. The thing is, Jesus' crucifixion was a scandal. That's what the Romans did to the worst criminals. It was embarrassing. And here they'd been saying Jesus was the Messiah, and he ended up arrested and crucified. How could they explain that? Atonement. He died for all of us. He took away the sins of the world, the sacrificial lamb. He gave us all a clean slate with God. There is a hint of that in the New Testament, but it really took hold over the first few hundred years of Christianity as an antidote to original sin. Now, original sin was a theory espoused by a number of people, but really developed by Augustine around 400 AD. It's about the great fall of humanity. Because Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying God, all humans are born sinners because we are all descendants of Adam and Eve. When you are born, then, you are already marked for hell. However, Jesus squared accounts with God for all human beings by dying on the cross, by making himself a sacrificial lamb. So you're saved, if you believe in Jesus. It's really pretty complicated. And Jesus said nothing of the sort. Unity does not buy into the theology of atonement, or the fall, or original sin. We don't believe you're born bad, or that God is wrathful, or that God judges your behavior to determine whether you will go to heaven or hell, or that there is a heaven or hell. Therefore, we don't need to be saved or reconciled with God, because we have not been judged. The whole structure of sin and salvation kind of falls apart, which I find refreshing. Except, every Easter, the question arises, then what is the meaning of Jesus' death? If he didn't save us from our sins, what did Jesus ever do for us? This is where I just offer you ideas to consider. I don't have ultimate answers. You wouldn't want me to pretend I do. So let me offer a few ideas to consider about the meaning of Jesus' death if it's not atonement. At the most pedestrian level, Jesus died as a political prisoner. It was a free speech issue. He was put to death for what he said. The authorities felt threatened. When he talked about establishing a kingdom of God, they heard, overthrow the government. When he was called the Son of God, well, the Emperor of Rome was the Son of God. His kingdom was the kingdom of God. So it sounded like a very specific political threat. And a number of Jesus' followers did expect and hope that he would overthrow Rome. I sympathize more than I used to with the Romans. I hear political speech these days that scares me. There are people I would shut up if I could. Maybe not by crucifixion. But Rome had a tenuous hold on Palestine anyway. Rome was the invader, the conqueror, and the Jews were insurgents, especially those rebels from Galilee. Some of Jesus' greatest teachings were based on how to deal with the occupying forces, the Romans. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. Those teachings were about non-resistance. And the Romans provided a handy object lesson for Jesus. He always drew from everyday life in his teachings. And those teachings were another reason he was willing to die. He died as a political prisoner, but he also died sticking to his guns, his worldview, challenging the status quo. He insisted human beings could have a better life, not just in the condition of their worldly lives, but an expanded consciousness. I've been trying to think of a modern-day example to compare, so try this. Would you say Martin Luther King died to save you? Probably not. So what did he die for? Well, fairness and equality, inclusivity, forgiveness, love, nonviolence. He died in his effort to make the world better, to advance the evolution of the human species, to expand our consciousness, so that we saw greater possibilities for ourselves and our society. In a sense, to save us from ourselves. Jesus died for all those same reasons. He died because he had a message to deliver no matter what. We've seen a number of teachers do the same, and they were all telling us, we could be more, we could live better. Isn't it interesting what a threat that is? Jesus knew what was his to do, and he kept doing it. He stepped out in faith despite the risks. He was telling us what's possible for us as human beings, teaching us how to be fully human, knowing we are also fully divine. And then, don't forget, he rose again. He showed us physical death is not the end of life. It was his final and greatest lesson. That was bigger news then than it is now. I think now most people accept the idea that we have a soul or a spirit that continues after our bodies die. In Unity, when people die, we celebrate the life they had and bless them on their ongoing spiritual journey. Jesus rose again. Now, it might or might not have been in a physical body. Even the Bible is not clear on that. there might or might not have been an empty tomb with the stone rolled away and angels announcing he is not here. Those details got more specific and spectacular as each book of the New Testament was written. But something happened. Something convinced Jesus' followers that his spirit was still with them. Something galvanized them to go out into the world to spread his teachings even at risk to themselves. And that was new. Remember the night Jesus was arrested? His disciples ran away. Only later did they have the courage and conviction to risk their own lives for those same teachings of peace, love, forgiveness, and inclusivity. They wanted to let people know life could be better. They wanted to help people expand their consciousness. According to the accounts we have in the Bible, Jesus' own disciples didn't really get his message until after he was gone. He died, he rose again, he ascended. Whatever happened, something changed their view of what it means to be human and what is possible for us all. Which brings us back to atonement. To atone means to make amends, to right some wrong we have committed. Now, we say, in the eyes of God, we haven't done anything wrong. But what about your own eyes? Have you seen yourself as separate from God? Have you ever seen yourself as unworthy? You might or might not call it sin, but no one does everything right. We're not perfect. Have you ever felt you probably didn't qualify to be loved by God? That's what we need to atone for, to set right. It's self-forgiveness. It's expanding our consciousness to see ourselves as God does, whole, perfect, and complete, created in the image of the divine. Some people take the word atonement and pronounce it at-one-ment. Reconciliation means to put the pieces back together, to be one again. The more we recognize we are one with the indwelling presence of God, and we can never be separate from it, then the more any feelings of separation or unworthiness will dissolve. Does that make sense? We're not striving to be whole, just to feel whole, because we already are. And that's what Jesus wanted us to know. He demonstrated everything we need to know or do to reach our own sense of atonement or oneness. He did it through his teachings, his actions, and especially through his death. He showed us that physical death is an illusion, and eternal life is our true nature. We are eternal beings. So he didn't die for us. He showed us the way, the truth, and the light, and assured us we have it within us too. So the meaning of Jesus' death for us, he was executed as a political prisoner. He died for his teachings because he so clearly and strongly wanted us to know who we are, to expand our consciousness, to live from greater awareness. He died to rise again because there has to be a death in order to have a resurrection. And he wanted us to see that life is eternal. This was a demonstration of unconditional love. And he died and rose again in whatever form to show us our oneness with God, to demonstrate our divine power. In unity, we call this Christ consciousness, the divine within, and we're born with it. So what did Jesus ever do for us? He loved us enough to come and tell us we are the Christ. So let's take those thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's take that deep cleansing breath as we always do as we move into this time of going a little deeper. Thank you. move your breath consciously in and out. Deeper. And just continue to go deeper and deeper. And envision yourself just moving deeper and deeper into the depths of your heart space. And deeper still into that place you call soul. And notice in that place that even though you are going deeper, it does not get darker. There is a spark. A twinkle. That is that divine spark. That is divinely you. That has never known judgment. That has no concept of that thing that we call sin or separation. It simply is the light of love. It is that love that has no constraints. It is unconditional in its nature. It lights you. Is you. It is unconditional. Of that unconditional love is the fact that it is always present. You are never separate from it because it is you. It is the very nature of God. Because God is all there is, you are absolutely inextricably part of it. So focus on that source. It is that well of your being that is always filled. And always filled to overflowing when you remember. It is infinite, unconditionally, unconditionally infinite in its love, love. You are love. You are unconditional love. So breathe into that love. Exhale that love out into the universe. Take another very deep breath in. And let it out. Let joy and gratitude rise up in your heart, your soul, in that spark. And let's once again celebrate and give gratitude for that knowing. We are never separate. The light is always within.